Welcome to the MEP podcast, where I'll be exploring the intersection of sport and spirituality through a variety of practices that ultimately invite us to learn, grow, and connect. I believe that through movement and mindfulness, we can create an awareness within that will allow us to integrate as individuals and connect more deeply to our mind, body, and spirit, together navigating a way to the way. Welcome back to the MEP podcast with your host, Ryan Wilms. It has been a few months, and I'm going to kind of share about what's been going on, what's coming up, and hopefully get you a little bit excited to listen to some more podcast episodes from myself and with the guests that I've got coming on and lined up and already recorded and all of that. But yeah, the last episode I recorded was in the early fall of last year, 2023, and then I basically just stopped recording. I stopped putting out almost any content, and it really ended up being a deep dive within myself over the last quarter of last year and into the winter. And not coincidentally, the last episode I did record and put out was about my MDMA experience, and was following a couple more ceremonies with this substance and medicine that really took me into the depths of myself, my psyche, my unconscious, and delivered me some lessons and some teachings and some experiences and awareness from within my body that I certainly couldn't have expected. And I think the only word that keeps coming to me is it was shocking. It was shocking and sort of rocked me, and it was a really challenging period, to be honest, and it was challenging to go through that while maintaining work and parenting and being a decent partner and all the stuff around our house, and definitely not a lot of training, that's for sure. You know, after 2022, I did 2 half Ironmans and probably another 5 to 7 shorter triathlons and a half marathon and all sorts of stuff in that realm. And last year, I basically just did the Malibu Triathlon, the short distance, in I think October, and actually really enjoyed it. It was a beautiful day and a fun experience, but that was it. It was like I could somehow afford myself just enough training building up to that, and then after, I just kind of collapsed again. It was probably the most challenging year of my life overall last year. Just so many opportunities for learning, so much deep diving, and an increased capacity to be with what I haven't been able to be with. And yeah, I'm sure I will sort of take different threads from the year, different learnings, and dive into those as I pick back up and dive into the podcast and share through Instagram as well. But that's not really what this episode is going to be about. It's really just letting you know that I'm back recording, dusted off the equipment, got it back out, and I'm super excited about it. I've recorded a couple of episodes with guests coming up that are going to be interesting and varied, and through MEP as well. What I'm kind of most excited about at the moment is a couple of in-person activations, programs that I'm really excited about. So the first one is going to be a 3-week, which is just 3 weekends in a row, running series with USOL here in Los Angeles. So that's going to be around, I think, February 17th, the first one, and then three Saturdays in a row for a couple hours. And the series is called Running Practice, and this is really what most of my movement has been around the last little while, is using running as a medium and sort of experimenting and practicing different techniques to feel more embodied, to understand even what embodiment is and why it is something that we want and how it can benefit us. And so this is going to be a really fun sort of experimental, playful series of 3 sessions, and we're going to run, and we might even run fast for one of them, but ultimately it's really going to be more about the experience, the connection as a group, the different experiments, and how we can kind of learn more about where we're at and how we relate to our bodies and space and Mother Earth and in a group setting and in something like running, which is often skewed very performance based or pursuit wise. And how can we take it kind of out of that realm and make it more of a practice? You think of like a yoga practice or a meditation practice, and this series will really be about being a running practice essentially. So we're going to be officially announcing that in the next week or so, depending on when this drops, but early February, and then it's going to go middle of February for 3 weeks. And yeah, USOL is a great platform. I had Michael on the podcast last year at some point, and one of the most listened to episodes, and it felt like one of the episodes I was listening to the most. Like, I was just like excited and enthralled and inspired by hearing him talk about what he's been doing and his story and journey. And yeah, it was beautiful. So if you haven't listened to that episode, highly recommend going back. Michael Washington from USOL, and check that out and check out what they're doing. They make some rad merch as well as a wild variety of really cool classes and workshops and things like that. So I'm really excited for that. The other one is going to be the MEP race team, which I have announced, although I'm going to be sharing a lot more context about that in the next days and weeks as well. So we're about 2 months away from this starting. It's going to officially launch March 20th, and it's going to run for 6 months. And this is really going to be a holistic triathlon program. I've been sharing it as a parallel journey of peak performance and self-discovery. So we are going to be building up over the 6 months to doing a half Ironman race in Washington on the Northwest, with a downriver swim and flat run. So it should be a beautiful course and experience there. So while we are going to be, setting goals and working towards, being and expressing our highest level of fitness, for me anyways, the big part of it is, what can we learn about ourselves? How deep can we look inside? How can we explore our fears, our unconscious drivers, who we really are, our purpose as athletes and our purpose as human beings, and just really integrating a whole wide variety of different sort of experiments and becoming more embodied and connecting with our hearts, and finding out, like, why are we doing this? Why is this the right sport for us, even might be an answer that we find along the way. And how we approach the sport, could shift drastically. I know for me, it's gone in different directions. And it's funny because last year, by the end of the year, I was very much looking at metrics and data. And there's so much you can get sucked into with triathlon, especially. But my first project with Reigning Champ, the tagline was really run with your heart, not your legs. And so it's for me been a big return to that sort of idea of, like, how can I run in service of my heart? How can I run for love? And in doing that, we sort of cultivate a greater version of ourselves, a more pure, clean version of ourselves. And then that shows up in the world in a beautiful and unexpected and unique way. And so that's really, this parallel journey of, like, cultivating that and discovering who we are and shedding layers and allowing our truer selves to hopefully shine through via the medium of endurance sport and triathlon. And we're going to have some amazing specialists give talks to the team and group. We've got some awesome partners that I can start to share in the near future, but off the top of my head, right now, we're going to have TriDot for all of our training. We're going to have AG1. We're going to have Hyperice and Oakley, 2xU with custom kits and tri suits. Morton, lots of fuel there. We're going to work with Open, the meditation app and space, and be using some of their guided work as well as in-person classes there. Move Lab as well to do our VO2 max testing and analysis and really track some of that so we can optimize with the help of TriDot and really get the most out of that. And some of these platforms are going to be providing their, sports nutrition science expertise or mindfulness expertise or whatever it is. So we're going to have access to some really incredible resources to help coach this journey along the way. Hopefully doing a nice in-depth training camp as well throughout the 6 months and some shorter races, but it's gonna be a mix of online, connection, Zoom calls, a lot of individual training just as triathlon is, but an emphasis on the group training as well, the group experience and supporting one another and seeing and witnessing one another. And that's really just such a crucial part of this experience. And it's some of the biggest golden nuggets that you can really get out of any sort of endurance pursuit is doing it in connection with a group. And often that can be forgotten, lost, and inconvenient to drive somewhere when you could just run out of your door. But taking that extra 15 minutes to go run with a handful of people can really feed our hearts and our souls in a way that we might forget from time to time. So the race team is going to be five or six athletes plus myself, so it's relatively small. Amazing partners, lots of rad gear and product along the way. And it's really exciting. It's really going to put together everything I've learned personally from endurance sport and training, nutrition, these holistic life coach practices, foundational stuff like sleep and eating, and that combined with a lot of more meditation, reading, listening, experiments on and off the bike and runs and things like that, working with different embodiment techniques and breath work as well, of course. And yeah, I'm super excited about it. I was nervous to launch it and do it and really go for it, but the more I sort of connect with what it is I need to do and share, and I'm inspired to do and share, and this is really going to be like the biggest version of that. And having done different retreats the last couple of years, 4 days and 3 nights is really beautiful and powerful as well. The experiences that I see and witness and have had myself, really amazing. And I plan to do another cycling retreat as well this summer back in Marin. Beautiful property and just epic riding up there, and come back to that. But what kind of inspired this 6 month program is taking that and really expanding it out, So when we have these big experience or insights, we have also have more room and support to integrate more continuity with myself and the athletes and the people and the team and all this stuff. So I think it's going to be really potent and beautiful, and I'm super excited. It's going to be a bit of an unknown. It's going to be a bit of an experiment, but trusting the process and trusting that whatever needs to happen is going to happen. And I'm still looking for a couple of partners. We need a footwear partner and potentially a cycling specific partner. But other than that, it's an awesome lineup, and I'm really excited to share that more officially and specifically the partners on Instagram soon. But if this calls to you, if it sounds interesting, please email, DM, text, whatever. If you know me or don't know me, don't be shy. It's going to be awesome. And we've already got a few people signed up, so there's only two or three spots left. And I'm hoping to confirm this by sort of early March. So then when we get to March 20th, 22nd, we'll be able to kick off and dive in and, go on an epic journey as a team. The tagline for it is A Race to Self. So, our A race is this half Ironman in September, but ultimately it's just a race to self, which is what life is all about. So, how much can we return to our hearts and our bodies and see what comes through that, see how that expresses? I have some interesting theories about, many people that I speak to and work with. There's a sort of sense of contraction and a seriousness, and getting into a sport like triathlon or running potentially can feel serious. And then we're working and that's serious. And then we're doing meditation and that's serious. And it's like, well, how much can we come back to play and dance and movement for the joy of it with no outcome or anything like that? So I'm wondering, for myself even specifically, like, am I gonna perform better in a triathlon if I do 60 minutes of strength training during the week? or am I going to perform better in a triathlon if I do 60 minutes of dancing? You know, just put on music and dance, or do Gaga dancing, or whatever, you know? And I kind of feel like probably the dancing would feed me and allow me to be more open and allow me to be more restful. So then I can integrate the training better and I can recover better. And not doing it with that purpose, but being curious about how feeding myself with the medium of play and entering into that state more allows more openness and more healthy sort of heart rate variability, basically, you know, and more rest and deeper rest, so I can integrate more and flow more and push harder and then rest harder and rest easier, maybe is a better word there. But yeah, all of this stuff is going to be part of it, and I think it's going to be really fun to experiment. And not that it really matters, because this is going to be completely unique to myself and this group of people that are embarking on this journey, but I haven't seen anything else like this out in the world either. So I think it's going to be unique in that sense, but ultimately, everyone is completely unique, and every experience everyone has all the time is completely unique. And so, just by the nature of it being, it's going to be a very unique experience for all of us. But I'm very excited to share and document a lot of it, and hopefully, yeah, just get people more interested in this type of work. And best case scenario, this program will be something I do each year. We'll see. We'll see how this one goes. But that's kind of the vision I have. I would love to do it. And selfishly, like, I love triathlon. It's a really fun, weird sport, and it can go totally like left brain analytical, or it can be spiritual, beautiful, dynamic, rich, fulfilling. And the group aspect is a huge part of that side of it. And so for me, I want to do the sport and I want to do it with people. So I've sort of dreamed up this interesting creation to facilitate that for myself and others as well. So yes, that's it. MEP race team, a race to self, half Ironman, 6 month program, online, in person. It's going to be really cool. So if this is interesting, if this calls to you, if there's any curiosity, please reach out. Who knows what it leads to, even if you don't end up signing up for this year. But yeah, excited to share that and launch that in the near future. Otherwise, I'm debating whether to talk about this next thing, but I'm going to just share about it now because it's really fresh, and it's almost a month today exactly. It is, actually. That's funny. So 1 month ago today, which was Christmas, I learned about something called the Gene Keys, and I had heard this mentioned only one time before, but I never looked into it. I never learned anything about it. I'd never heard of Richard Rudd, who is the sort of founder, almost more like a medium that it came through. And yeah, I learned about it. I was shown my map, which literally is just your birth date, location, and time, and gives you this sort of map to yourself. And wow, the second I saw it, I had a really intense feeling, and it was pretty profound. And it was like, okay, I have to look at this. And I felt a little bit of fear around it and excitement as well. And I've had a couple of sessions with a transformational coach who uses it as a tool, because really it's just a map to help guide you. But how does it come to exist? That's something like probably beyond my conscious awareness, in my thinking brain, that it can comprehend. But for some part of me, it just trusts it. It believes it to be true, and I just trust the sort of system and map. And the deeper I've gone into it, and more I've learned about the different gene keys and how the sort of map works and these different activation sequences and contemplation, which is sort of the main tool for exploring this stuff, which is really like a Richard described it as a middle ground to meditation and concentration. In a month, I've seen so much transformation within myself. I've seen so much shift, so much more clarity, awareness. I mean, it really kind of like tells you what your purpose is, both from like a work sense and kind of like your soul's expression in this life, how you're meant to be and what you're meant to do. And there's 64 gene keys overall, and then your personal map, I think, has 11 of these keys, and they're laid out in a very specific sequence. So the key is specific. Each key has a shadow, a gift, and a higher embodied, almost like godlike state called a siddhi. And then where they are on the sequence, and then there's lines between the sequence, and then there's also a kind of secondary number paired with the gene key number that also has a unique flavor to it. So it's incredibly complex, and nuanced and deep, and it's been amazing, honestly. I've studied lots of different teachers and things and systems and maps, and worked with a variety of coaches and mentors and medicines and all these things. And for me, it completely aligns with the things that have resonated the deepest, and it has really helped me become so much more focused on where to put my attention and curiosity and energy and where to take initiative. Certainly brought light to certain blind spots that I'm almost shocked I couldn't see before. But yeah, through this, it's been really, really profound, I would have to say. And so if that sounds interesting, check it out. You can get so much of it for free. You can get your map for free. There's a beginner course that gives you a ton of stuff. There's tons of stuff on YouTube and SoundCloud. And Richard Rudd is just, like, even outside of the Gene Keys, a really beautiful teacher and sort of a poet, and has some incredible guided meditations. And really, the whole thing is just about softening and opening your heart, and gentleness and patience, and very much aligned with a lot of Taoist type of philosophy and thinking and being, in a Wu Wei sort of action, non-action, which has really just landed deeply in my cells. And ultimately, that's kind of what the Gene Keys thing is like, as you work through these different spheres, it's actually working with your DNA, and it's activating different DNA in your body to express at higher frequencies. And so, it's intellectually extremely interesting, but and a much deeper physiological DNA epidemiology. It's very real. It's a very felt experience for me so far, anyways. And I'm very excited about it. I have no idea how long it's gonna take, or if I do it for the rest of my life. But each day is, interesting and exciting. And yeah, I just really appreciate this teaching. And I think because it's so much of it's free, and it's so much of a self-guided journey, there's no like guru or mentor, and Richard himself says he's just a fellow traveler on this journey. I think that, says a lot too for what this tool is and can be. For me, I think part of the sort of initial visceral reaction to it was, I've always had this desire to feel seen, and be witnessed, like, for really who I am and for what I am, and with all my flaws and with all my gifts and all my challenges and shortcomings and highlights and skills and all of that stuff. And as much as I've wanted that, the reality of just purely being that is also scary. It's a bit terrifying. And so all of a sudden, I was handed this map to myself that was almost like the most objective mirror of, like, this is who you are, this is what you're here to do, that there was just no denying. And so somebody who was familiar with the Gene Keys to look at that and see me was like a little bit scary, because what I've pulled back the thread on is, coming back again and again to this, like, deep inner fear of not being good enough. And it's like, well, what if they look at this map of me, which is the most objective showing of who and what I am, and they look at that and I'm not good enough, or I'm not as good as I thought I was, or I'm way off track, or I'm, you know, all of these things. These are like the unconscious fears that I've noticed that bubbled up, and that was like the, like, oh God, like I want this, but it's terrifying, basically. So that was a really interesting experience, and then to sort of pull at that thread and continue to pull at it, and see where I've been sort of hiding myself or blocking myself or trying to keep myself safe. Something that came up today is this idea of like self-abandonment. And, you know, if we're doing this internal work, it's something that can come up and can be talked about, and I'm not going to abandon myself anymore, and that sort of feeling. But ultimately, I don't think there is any self-abandonment, because even when we're in our sort of shadow behavior, which isn't helping us, and it might be avoidant or it might be overreacting, that behavior is just a maladaptive form of self-protection and self-preservation. So it's still a way that we are loving ourselves. We're still trying to keep ourselves safe and protected and feel okay. It's just not a pattern that is helpful to usually us in our close relationships anymore. So it's really just changing those patterns, of how we love ourselves. But no matter what, we're always trying to do that. You know, even some of the worst actions and things that have happened by people in the world is, it's really still just like them trying to keep themselves safe and okay and loved and in connection and maintain a sense of that. Because we're usually very disconnected from the reality that underneath all of it, we are okay. We are good enough. How could we not be? You know, we're all these unique, perfect beings, and that can be hard to accept that. It's hard to accept it in others and in ourselves, and you know, it's a really beautiful, challenging journey to walk that path. And yeah, basically the Gene Keys have shown themselves to me as one of the most helpful ways to do that. And also, like, one of the takeaways that has resonated deeply is seeing my own map and shadows and these things and purposes and things like that. It's like, oh, that is how I am, and that's okay. Like, this is my journey. This is unique to me. There's more grace awarded to myself by myself for, yeah, you know what? Like, this suffering has meaning. There's purpose in this. It's not for just no reason that this is challenging or that I have this skill or whatnot. And then in others, when I'm like, how come you don't see this? How come you don't get me or this or whatnot? There's, oh, they are different. They have these other skills. They have these other challenges. They have their own shadows. They're not the same as me in the way that this expresses. And so I feel so much more grace for others as well in seeing that their uniqueness and their gifts and their journey and their path, that's all different. At the core, we all are the same. We are the same. But our expression and path is different. And so that's another thing that intellectually it's easy to recognize that and say that, but the Gene Keys really helps this deeper activation within us in a way that's I found really unique. And that is what I've felt in a much deeper way than I could have just thought. And so yeah, it's been beautiful. I think for myself and probably most of the people around me, it's been a very positive shift. And I have no affiliation with them or the company or whatever it's called. Even the Gene Keys book is free on Audible, so like, yeah, you can get a lot of it for free. And I'm happy to answer any questions about what I know or share links to helpful resources. But there's a ton on their website. There's a beginner course that's really great, and yeah, I just think it's super interesting and it's self-guided, and even the stuff that costs money is quite cheap, relatively speaking. So there's just a huge, incredible, beautiful, rich tool there if this resonates with you that I had never heard of until exactly 1 month ago. So I'll probably be talking about this more in the future. I'm really gonna, my intention and dream is to have Richard Rudd on the podcast at some point, and I believe that will happen. I don't know when and how, but I've got some interesting questions for him, and I'm sure he's got some beautiful answers for them as well. But yeah, check that out. And that's pretty much it for this I'm back episode. So more podcasts coming soon. There's going to be a mix of solo, shorter ones, and guests. And I'm really going to try and publish regularly as much as possible. We have a new nanny that is here more days a week, which is affording me a little bit more space to create, which is great. And I love being a dad. I think that'll also be a little bit of a theme moving into this year, is a little bit more parenting content and father sharing. It's not something I've shared about too much publicly last year, and I feel like now that he's almost a year and a half, there's enough experience and coming through the experience and understanding of the experience that I can sort of start to articulate things. And there's some beautiful teachers out there in that space. And ultimately, like, that's what it's all for, you know, doing the GNQs, doing triathlon, working, whatever it is, you know, we want to be the best versions of ourselves so that we can not just show, or what actually exactly, so we can show, not so we can tell our children or the next generation what to do, but show them ourselves. We have to be it, because they listen with their bodies, they will listen with their nervous systems, they listen with their hearts, and they feel how we are being. They don't just see what we are saying or listen to what we're saying. So the only way to really make that kind of shift and change is to go deep within ourselves, be it within ourselves, express it purely and cleanly, and be honest about our mistakes and shortcomings, and share that as well. And so, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a beautiful, challenging journey, and it's given me so much inspiration and teaching so far, and I'm sure will just continue to be exponential. So that will be a sort of a pillar of some of the content that I'm going to be sharing. And yeah, I'll be certainly be humble about it, but also I want to try to acknowledge where I feel like I am doing a good job, and that I can be proud of myself too, and seeing our little guy grow up. Yeah, there's always a mix of that, you know. There's always the acknowledgement of that I am imperfect and that I am doing the best that I can, and both of those things are true. Again, something that I think the Gene Keys sparked me too, is just like our mind, our egoic mind, is very dual, and lives in this duality of black and white, right and wrong, up and down. But you know, our hearts and our bodies, they don't live so much from that space. Black and white, you know, they exist at the same time. Everything is existing at the same time. You know, our paths are laid out for us, and we can make our choices. There's just less of that. So, and maybe I bought a book of Zen koans, so it's like these kind of riddles that have no answers, and it kind of like messes with the left brain. And I also realized, you know, a lot of the Taoist translations and Taoism books do that too. One of the sayings that stuck with me the most, that I continue to learn and understand and feel more deeply ever since I've learned it, is when nothing is done, nothing is left undone. And it's like, well, how does that make sense, you know? And to our sort of analytic, egoic mind, it can't really make sense. It can't really. But to our hearts, it makes perfect sense. To our souls, it makes perfect sense. And so, how can we hold a truth like that and know it to be true, and hold it gently, and allow the ego to sort of surrender to, it doesn't know how that is true, but it is, you know, and that sort of idea. And I think the more we can kind of wade out into that space, the more we are sort of in awe of the magical and mystical, and feel more at peace with not knowing. Because we don't know anything. One of the things I've been using as a reference lately, and I'll kind of like finish with this for this short re-entry podcast, is Something as simple as the sun, you know? How does, we all are like, oh yeah, there's the sun, it's up for whatever, how many hours a day, goes around, we spin around and then we see it again and there it is, and that's the sun. But it's like, do we actually, can we actually know what the sun, its real capacity is? Like its real strength and size? You know, like how many planet Earths, which seems pretty big to me, how many Earth would fit inside of the sun? You know, you can think of an answer to yourself, but recently I learned it was, now I can't actually remember. It's either 1.3 million or 13 million, but over a million Earths would fit into the sun. And then you think about how far away it is, and that we are just sitting here on this planet, and it is just like the perfect distance away to tan our skin, to grow our food, to feel warm in the middle of the day and cool at night, which makes it perfect for going to sleep and then being active during the day. Even when you think of like the sun shining and you see like a hard shadow line, there's still light within that shadow. You can still see everything within that shadow. So it's like, how is the sun creating this intense, intense light from so far away, from this incredibly massive source that is so far beyond anything we can imagine? Then there's this structure in the way that creates a super hard line of where the light hits directly from the sun and where it doesn't. And that almost looks black and white. And then you realize the whole shadow is also filled with light, and you can still see every detail within there. And it's like, phew, I've never even, you know, considered the sun in this way or thought about that. And I've just walked around my Earth, you know, being like, oh, it's too warm today. Oh, it's not, it's too cold, you know? But the reality is, like, so much of this incredible, insane magic is happening all the time within our own bodies, even, that we just have basically an inability to comprehend. And, but we can be aware of it, and we can be in awe of it, and we can honor it, and we can just be grateful for it, that we get to experience it. And so ultimately that's where I feel like I'm heading, and hopefully sharing from more of that space, because it's fun and playful, and I enjoy it. So yeah, I'll leave it there for this episode. It's kind of a weird one, but I'm back. More episodes coming. The next one will be with guest Sam Parsons, who's co-founder of Tin Man Elite, professional runner, and trying to qualify for the Olympics this year. So that was a fun chat. And then more to just be flowing and rolling after that on parenting and men's work and triathlon and endurance sport and deep internal exploration, and probably some more Gene Key stuff too, if I'm honest, because it's kind of blowing my mind and activating my DNA, which is been a good thing. So thank you for listening. Try and get on a regular cadence so you remember to come back and listen and share and all that good stuff. Until next time.